last week. Amen. Praise God. Brother Savala, he's hiding back here, but that's okay. We're glad he's here. Amen. What a joy to have you home, brother. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be home for about 8 days. Amen. And let's see. It's good to see Brother Wheeler. Good friends. Amen. Love them. And good pastor. Crosswhite. Amen. Good friends most of the time if they like me. Amen. No, it's just good to be home. Good to see my lovely wife every once in a while. And praise God. No, I get to finally see her for a long time. Amen. 7 days is a long time. Amen. Wish it could be longer. Amen. Hallelujah. And man, I'm just thankful for the Holy Ghost. How about you? Amen. Praise God. You know, there's some folks who won't smile. You insist not to smile, but I'm happy to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. There's no place like this place, anywhere near this place. Amen. I was glad when they said it to me. Let's go to church. Praise God. So now I'm going to ruin a good message. I figured since there's two pastors against one evangelist, I got to get a little lick in there somewhere. And I was told not long ago that evangelists don't know anything. So I'm going to show you what I don't know here right now. But I'm going to ruin a good message. This will help somebody, maybe. And so in Genesis, everyone say Genesis. Genesis. That's the first book in the Bible, in case you're not certain. That's the very first one. And the last one is not concordance. It's Revelation, just helping. And so in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, which is where all the creation takes place. And you know that in the scripture, if you've read that chapter at all, every once in a while, maybe once a year or something, if you've ever read it, it says, and God saw that it was good, right? It says it's all that he was good. It does that 6 times, and then the 7th day, it says it's very good and all that. And so that's very good. But, you know, we serve a God that can do all things. I mean, now we can't. We have to be satisfied with parts. You know, we know where we want to go all the time. We have an idea of what we want to happen, but we know it takes a process to get there. And a long time ago, I was putting together a dresser in my daughter's room, and it's a very small space to put a dresser together in. I used all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I used all the fruit of the Spirit. I had Christian music playing, and there was a couple times I busted my knuckles. My wife was in the other room. I still was wishing I could hire somebody to cuss for me. I had all the spiritual things going, and it's a small little area. I know you're not too spiritual, but that's just where I was, and I was frustrated at the parts. I was frustrated at the part. I had little parts here, and this was done, and I couldn't get it all together, and I was having a hard time, but I knew I had a picture. There was a picture, so this is what it's supposed to look like, and it wasn't quite getting there, and I was frustrated. So I finally started doing it like in little sections. And as I did little sections, I got a little happier. The Lord could have created everything at one time. No days, no little here, little there, little over there. He could have done it all at once. If we had that power, that's what we probably would have done. He limited his power. Mm-hmm. And he said after each day, even knowing the total job wasn't complete, what he had done was good enough. You may be here tonight struggling with the picture of completeness that you have way out there somewhere. And you just don't feel, well, I'll never get there. I don't know how. Would you just take time to thank God for the parts that are completed right now? Can you just be patient long enough to say, God, if you could limit yourself on the way to completion, I'm not going to be complete till he takes me home. I'm saved, but I'm really not saved. I got saved when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got saved then, but I'm trying to continue to be saved now. But I won't be saved till I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if he's happy with me on the way, then who am I to get angry at the process and miss opportunities of joy and completeness and happiness with saying, God, I may not be everything I'm supposed to be, but I can see what you're doing in me, and I'm thanking God for the process. Are you thankful for what God's doing to you in this point? Would you lift your hands? Let's love the Lord together and thank him for his goodness to us. Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good.
God's still working on us, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of James. Amen. I have this week felt in the Holy Ghost, and had it not been for the Lord directing me and giving me a message, one of these ministers would be preaching. Amen. But when you're a pastor, and these men know that, amen. Brother Wheeler, I'd love for you to come back and be with us and preach to us. Amen. And what I feel in the Holy Ghost for this congregation, as a shepherd and a pastor, to this message that God has laid on my heart. So James the 4th chapter, verse 4. And we'll read all the way to verse 10. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord today. The scripture says in James the 4th chapter, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Total opposite of being on God's side. Totally opposite of being a friend of God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. I want the Lord to have his way tonight. Lord, we thank you for your grace and power, your goodness this evening. Thank you for the way that you have touched and the way you have ministered in this service. But God, I thank you for what you're going to do today, Lord, in our lives. We give you praise and we give you honor, Jesus, and we bless your beautiful and righteous name. Heal and minister tonight to every heart. In Jesus' name we ask. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. The scripture begins to declare, not everyone that claims his lordship or possesses that they know the Lord. Not everybody that says they know who he is. Not everybody that make claims that say that they belong to God is his. The scripture begins to plainly say today that a friendship of the world is an enemy to God. Worldliness is something that opposes God, censures God, despises God, and God despises it. And he talks about a way to get from the enemy side, where you oppose God, and to the good side of God. He said, amen, he giveth grace, but he tells everybody here, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your doing, or your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Matthew says this, not everybody that says unto him, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In fact, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And thy name casted out devils. And thy name done many wonderful works. Then the Lord replies, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Even though the enablement of God and his name is there, where people is able to utilize his name as a tool against the enemy. When you don't know God, You're still shaming God and not a friend of God. If you're going to be a friend of God, you're going to know him and he's going to know you. Tonight I want to talk to you how to become a friend of God. How to become a friend of God. Now we have a tendency to judge everything from our personal vantage point, life experiences. And it's possible that this ideology begins to color our perception of even Bible characters in the Word of God. We're going to look at them. But if we judge some Old Testament heroes by the current accepted behavior of our society, their humanity would scream with imperfection. Yet by today's standard, we find that Abraham was a perfect example. He is called the father of the faithful. His name is hallowed. You talk about Abraham, many people begin to say, yes, he's the father of faithful. But by today's standard, he was guilty of lying about his wife, Sarah. He claimed that this is my sister. Not only that, but he created havoc in his home and havoc with the promises of God by fathering a child by a handmaid called Hagar. Later on, he rejected and banished Hagar, a spouse who abandonment today. Not only did he do that, but he abandoned Ishmael, his son, neglecting his own child. I'm sure you could find other things that would put a mark against his name. But do you know when the relationship of Abraham changed with God? Think with me. James, the second chapter, says this in verse 21. James 2:21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? This is the question. When he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. The question is, was Abraham, our father, justified by works? When he offered his son on the altar. Verse 22 says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. Just his works didn't do the job. It took faith with that. 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the what? Friend of God. We want to talk about how to become a friend of God. Amen. In spite of all his perfections, Abraham was called a friend of God after he built an altar. You want to be a friend of God today? How many wants to be a friend of God? I just don't want to be a churchgoer. I just don't want to be one that talks in tongues. I just don't want to be a devil casting out person and a devil chaser. Amen. I want to be a God chaser. I want to be one that seeks God. I want to be one that is a friend of God, that God knows who I am. I don't know how your life story reads, and I really don't care how your story reads. I want to tell you, amen, you could become a friend of God too. It's one easy step to become a friend of God. And this is what the Lord spoke to me about this service tonight. Build an altar. You want to become a friend of God, you got to be an altar builder. And I read in the Old Testament that Elijah built an altar. And there was a challenge between Elijah and the people that worship pagan things. And there on that mountain, they tried to get the attention of their God. They began to proclaim that they had a powerful God, but their God did not answer. But it was when Elijah rebuilt the altar, and whenever he began to pray to the living God, at the rebuilding of that altar, God rained down with fire and answered. I want to tell somebody, God still answers at an altar. You got to have an altar in your life. I read also in the word of the Lord that Manasseh, the king of Judah, he was the son of Hezekiah. I want you to listen. Manasseh reigned 55 years. And he introduced pagan principles and practices. He rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had torn down. Hezekiah went through the whole issue of tearing down and cleaning the temple and re-cleaning his kingdom. But his son comes along and begins to institute pagan worship again. They started worshiping all the different gods and practicing everything. He set up idols and altars for Baal. He worshiped the stars, even practiced child sacrifices. Manasseh, 55 years reign. But later in his life, he got captured by a Syrian king. And he was taken to Babylon. And there Manasseh had an opportunity to repent of his sins. And there he repented, and in his distress, he sought the Lord and humbled himself greatly before God, the God of his fathers, in 2 Chronicles 33. And God was moved by his repentance and restored Manasseh back to the kingdom. Guess what? When he comes back, Manasseh changed some ways and began to undo the damaged things that he had caused. The Bible says he removed the foreign gods and idols from the temple of the Lord. He got rid of the pagan altars that he had allowed to be built in Jerusalem for foreign gods. And then he said, the Bible says he restored or repaired the altar of the Lord and began to make sacrifices on it. He urged Judah, his kingdom, to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. Manasseh's powerful story is an example of repentance and God's mercy even after a life has severely disobeyed God. The way to become a friend of God was to build an altar in his life. An altar is a place of sacrifice and death. An altar must be carefully built up. When you have an altar in your life, it ought to be a building zone, a construction zone. Because never do when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, never is it a diploma. It's a birth certificate. And a relationship with God is always a constructive relationship. You're always going to build, and it better be an altar. You better have an altar in your life. A personal altar will help you become a friend of God. It's a construction zone where you grow your faith. Jude, the first chapter, says this in verse 20, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Your faith is built up by praying and meeting with God. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not necessary. You just jabbering in another tongues. There's a lot of people jabbering in other tongues, but the Spirit of God, God himself, his presence and anointing is not magnified in that life. And friend, even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not a charity, a love for God, my tongue is vain, the scripture says. I must have an altar. I must have an altar. An altar is a place where you humble yourself. The book of James, the 4th chapter, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You want to be lifted up by God? Amen. You got to humble yourself. Your will has to be submitted to God. You got to lower yourself down to that place and say, God, it's not my will, but thy will. When you have an altar in your life, God will lift you up. Amen. A lot of people looking for the elevator to be lifted up by doing things in this world, but you need an altar. Only by an altar will you humble yourself and pray will you find the lift of God in your life. A place, a turning point, a repentance. Acts 3rd chapter verse 19 says, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. An altar is a place of repentance. And I don't believe repentance is just a one-time deal. As we grow in faith and grow with God, there's going to be constant things. There's going to be a lot of bugs getting on your windshield. There's going to be a lot of trail dust in the trails of life that would get there where you need a constant cleansing and renewing with God. You need an altar. How many will still be a friend of God? You better have an altar in your life. An altar's more than just a bench in the church that you kneel at, but a place where you meet with God and humble yourself and stay turned to Him. Hallelujah. A place where you keep your heart turned to Him. The next place an altar is a place of communion. Communion is not necessarily us just eating bread and drinking the fruit of the vine. But communion is getting one with God, fellowshipping with God. There's some people praying they don't fellowship with God. They don't commune with God. Their prayers is a want list and a wish list. Friend, when's the last time you commune with God and you got heart to heart and you honored the King of Kings? Amen. Hey, friend, a worshiper is not somebody that comes here and runs the aisles on Sunday, but a worshiper is somebody that has an altar that meets with their God in a daily manner. You need an altar to be His friend. Where you sacrifice self and give self to Him. The altar is an offering place. Where you give. You surrender. Commitments are made at an altar. Things are dedicated to God in an altar. I'm afraid in our hour, the reason why we are so weak in this hour in Pentecost is because we have no altar. Oh, we got benches. But even here, there's some that don't even come here. When's the last time you made a trip to the altar? But when's the last time you made an altar in your life? Do you have an altar? You need to have an altar. You need to have a frequent place that you go with to God and an offering place that you dedicate to God, you give to God, you commit to God. An altar is a place of intercession. There's a lot of people, well, Pastor, would you pray for my children? Would you pray for my son? Would you pray for my daughter? And they want intercession to be done by the preacher. But they have no altar in their life. You want to see and be a friend of God? You want to see God answer your prayers for your children? Have an altar where you can intercede and you can stand in a gap for your children. If God don't know you in an altar, God doesn't know you at all. Hear me. God wants this church to have an altar. God wants you as an individual to have a personal altar. You want revival in this hour. You want to see the move of God. You want to make it to heaven. You better have an altar in your life. No daily walk. You'll never have a daily walk with God if you don't have a daily talk with God and a daily altar. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, everybody say turn, from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, God wants a people, but God wants somebody to turn to Him and keep Him there in their life. God wants to meet you, but you got to have an altar. Now, this is old-fashioned, but it's still right. This is building block basics. The Holy Ghost has spoke to me several times. Oh, what are we battling, Pastor? Every service we come here, it seems we're hitting a wall and bouncing off. We can't get victory. It's because of a lack of an altar, because we do not have an altar in our life. Jeremiah 24, Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah 32, he said, when you turn to Him, He said, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. I'm glad to have a God tonight who's interested in us. He's a God who's still interested in our souls and our lives. 2 Corinthians 6, Paul writing to the church there. And he said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? God's temple, your body has no agreement with idols and carnality and altars of the flesh. Well, Pastor, I don't have anything. If you're not putting God number one in your life, you don't have an altar. There's something else in that you're bowing to. He said, for you are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He quotes from Jeremiah, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. God is trying to tell us tonight, we need an altar. You want God to be your friend? You need an altar. Amen. You need an altar. You need a personal place of dedication, sanctification, a place to meet God. Where has conviction gone? Where has conviction gone? Where people feel easy and comfortable doing things they never would have done when they had an altar. Churches would never have done the things they're doing now 15 years ago when they have an altar, had an altar. And I'm not talking about a bench here. I thank God for these kneeling benches that we call altars. But you know what I'm talking about. You better have a personal place where you give yourself daily. A place where you surrender yourself to God Almighty. Because it doesn't take long for carnality to creep in. It don't take long for the enemy to start coming in through the means of a carnal spirit. Amen. You can cast out the devil. You can resist the devil, but you can't cast out a carnal spirit. Flesh has to be nailed and crucified at an altar. Come on, I'm in the book today. Amen. And friend, the enemy don't like it. The flesh don't like it. Amen. But God loves it when somebody turns to Him. We need an altar in our life. I'm telling you, young person, you'll never make it. You'll never be saved without an altar. New convert, you will not make it unless there's a place where you meet with God and you nail the flesh by crucifying the flesh. I want to move the Holy Ghost in our church. God has given us promises. God has given us building materials. God has given us things in this community. Last month we had 87 visitors and about 68 were first time ones. We have a lot of guests that come and a lot of guests that leave. We need an altar. If we don't have an altar, how can we lead them to the altar? We battle against spirits, principalities, and powers. But you can't battle with a carnal spirit. Come on, I'm here tonight. I'm here to tell us God wants to be our friend. But we'll never be friends with God until we learn to meet with Him. Amen. I want to boldly approach the throne of grace, but I can't approach the throne of grace if I don't have an altar where I give myself and submit myself therefore to God. Amen. Where I learn to build up myself by humbling myself. It was the last time that you prayed in the Holy Ghost? And there's a lot of people pray to, they speak in tongues and that's about it. Boy, it sounds like I'm against speaking. No, I'm not. But we need to get to that place beyond just where we jabber in tongues to the place where the Holy Ghost begins to empower us. Acts 1st chapter, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. I believe God has a people that He wants to empower, that they can be something and impact in their generation. I have to have an altar. I have to have an altar. I have to have a meeting place with God. We brush our teeth to keep away tooth decay. But we need to brush our soul because we don't need truth to decay. My God. Truth will disappear from our generation when we don't have an altar. Think with me. We can teach our kids, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." They can quote it. So could Manasseh. Hezekiah taught his children, the Shema. The Shema. He taught them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is." They knew the Torah. They could quote the scriptures. But what happened? Amen. This young boy didn't get an altar in his life. He rode off the coattail of a daddy who was a king. And friend, when he became king, amen, he allowed some things to enter in. Hey, friend, hey, the enemy can't come in when you got an altar. When you have a place where you sacrifice self, that meeting place with the Almighty God, where you commune with the God of heaven. I love it because that great creator, Brother Savala, amen, when we humble ourselves before him, the great creator begins to minister to us. Amen. The power of the Almighty God starts working in our life. Amen. Hear me. I want to be a friend of God. I want him to know who I am. I want to know how to approach his throne. Amen. But it needs to be more than an occasional deal. It needs to be more than just me coming to church and feeling goosebumps and shouting and jumping. But I need an altar every day of my life. Hey, friend, this world is not our home. We're passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims. We need an altar. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I need a daily place with God. Hallelujah. You have more. I have more than what Abraham had. More than what Isaac had. Hebrews 11 chapter says we have the better thing. We got it so much better than what they had it. They saw it from afar off, but they died in faith, not having the promise. But I'm glad I have the promise. God filled me with his spirit. Amen. Oh, God gave me his grace. I've been baptized in his name. I have his blood flowing through me. Amen. I don't have to go to a pagan altar. I don't have to go to a pagan source. I don't even have to have a lamb. Amen. I know who the great I am is and the lamb who died for me at Calvary. Amen. But friend, I need an altar. The enemy wants to mess with people's minds today that don't know how to submit at an altar prayer where you sacrifice yourself and submit and crucify the flesh. I'm telling you, anything and everything comes against us today. Distractions of hell. Things will come and try to steal your time with God. But you got to make an altar. Hallelujah, you got to make that time with the Master. That's old-fashioned preaching, isn't it? That's what we grew up with. Brother Wheeler, that's what we grew up with. Sister Wheeler, that's what we grew up with. Men of God that preached about a daily relationship with God and an altar. I'm afraid in this hour, the altar has become something faded, something that's become foreign to us. But we need to get the altar back in our life. We need to rebuild it. Amen. We need to get some things out of the way. Amen. Oh, you're too busy to pray. You're too busy for God to be your friend. But somebody that would take time and push away everything else and say, God, you deserve the honor. You deserve the glory. We'll find God meeting with you there. Hallelujah. You know, God answers saints' prayers too that have an altar. Pastor, you'll be surprised how many people have been in church for years that don't know how to pray because they hadn't learned to build an altar in their life. I love it, those stories of yesteryear where men of God would go out in the woods and start praying. And they had a relationship with God. And you could hear ladies praying. Ladies of Zion talking to God. They weren't afraid. Whenever you asked them to pray, they'd stop right there and pray, whether they were in the store or wherever they were at. They weren't ashamed to pray because they had an altar in their life. And, you know, I was recently somewhere and somebody asked me, said, Pastor, would you pray? And I said, well, let's do it right now. And their eyes got big like, here? Yes, here. God still can answer. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed to talk to the Lord. Amen. God's not ashamed to be called your God when you have an altar. My Lord God. Hallelujah. Pastor, what's wrong every time I come to church? I feel resistance every time I come to church. It's like everything distracts me. Everything bugs me. You know, I look around and I see all this. Amen. When you don't have an altar, you're easily distracted. Amen. But when you learn to have an altar, God gets some special attention from you. God gets your heart, your focus. Amen. God has the opportunity to get one-on-one with you and talk to you. When you have an altar, when you read His Word and you talk to the God of the Word, amen, He will lead and guide you in all truth. God will help you in your decisions. God will help you when things come against you. God will supply your needs when you have an altar. I want God to be my friend. 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 I want Him to know who I am. Hallelujah. Lift your hands tonight in this place. God, I want conviction back in our church. God, when you were able to speak to us in the middle of a service, God, that we're easily moved with intercession and intercessory prayer. Travail comes so easy. God, a burden is so great. God, in a service, Lord, you can call somebody, use somebody. God, in the work of the Holy Ghost, God, when we have an altar, God, renew that altar in our life. Help us to rebuild some things. God, consecrate us. God, move us with the spirit of prayer. Move us with the spirit of evangelism. Move us with the spirit of truth. God, move us back to an altar building. God, help us to build again the things, God, we so neglected. Well, the Holy Ghost is already ministering right now. Hallelujah. Somebody in this place, you already tried to excuse yourself and say, well, I'm too old. I want to tell you, you're never too old for an altar in your life. In fact, the closer you get to your death, amen, the more altar you need. Amen. Hear me. Amen. Young person, you're not too young for an altar. Amen. You need an altar in your life right now. In your time right now, you need an altar. Amen. Because God wants to lead you, mold you, shape you, and help you. God wants you to make it. He wants to be on your side. He don't want you to be an enemy. He don't want enmity between you and Him. He wants His glory to dwell on your life. An altar. Hallelujah. Oh, where's old Sister KK at? I've been waiting for somebody to take her place. She passed away over a year ago. And that little sister would sit right over here in that third chair. 90 years old, drove 52 miles one way to church from Carthage. Came here, was on time. And when the Holy Ghost hit her, she'd get out in that aisle. She wasn't afraid to pray out loud. Amen. And travail in the Holy Ghost. Where are the altar builders that would say, God, I know I can't be a Catherine Woodard, but God, you're the God of Catherine Woodard. And Lord, I want that same spirit. Amen. Hey, God will give a mantle to those that have an altar. Amen. God will give a mantle, amen, and a power in your life if you have an altar. Amen. If you would let God be God in your life like you should. People that just don't weep and linger in the altar anymore. They're too busy because Taco Bell's closing. Too busy to run. Friend, we're too busy for God. God will be too busy for you. God wants to be your friend. But it takes a time in the altar with Him building an altar. Let's lift our hands. The Holy Ghost is trying to minister right now. Hallelujah. Lord, help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus. Amen. You need to cry out to the Lord with me right now. Come on. Amen. Don't be afraid to lift your voice, brother. Amen. Come on, sister. You need to lift your voice. God, move me, Lord, with your spirit. Move me with your spirit. Come on. I need somebody to cry out loud. Hallelujah. Somebody to cry and say, God, have mercy. Have mercy on us, oh God. Move me with your spirit. Let it be urgent to me, oh God. Let it be urgent to my spirit, Lord, that I seek you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In fact, amen, we've given altar calls, and I watch people go to other people and start a conversation at a sacred moment in a church service. I watch people that's been around church for many years become a stumbling block to others when the Holy Ghost was moving, because they want to talk about the weather, talk about something else. Hey friend, your church service is most important. You could do your visiting a little bit later, but the altar service is important. Amen. Souls are important. Eternity is important. Hear me. We need an altar, and we need an altar service that moves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to cry from your heart right now. Come on. You need to cry from your heart. Amen. Come on. You don't need to weep for your children. You need to weep for your soul. Amen. And friend, when you start getting your heart in tune, God will start bringing in the backslide of the prodigal. God will pull out of the sludge of sin. Come on. When you get your heart where it needs to be, God will reach to the pig pen and bring somebody in. He'll reach to that cell of sin and deliver them. When there is an altar in your life, amen. Where's your altar? Hear me. Where's your altar? Hallelujah. 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 I want you to come. Amen. Somebody needs to bury their face. Amen. In this altar this day. Amen. You need to bury your face in prayer. Amen. And intercede for souls in your soul. Amen. Somebody needs to touch the throne of grace tonight. Amen. While grace is still available. Amen. You need that altar, friend. You need the goodness of God to flow in your life. You need that reviving source of the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, pray, God, revive me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit, O God. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, I need somebody to lift your voice. Somebody to pray out loud. Somebody to get in agony, amen, before the throne of God tonight. Come on, you need to cry before the throne. Hallelujah, you need to pray before the master tonight. Come on, wring your heart out before God. Pour it out before the master and say, God, I need you. I need you, Lord. Awaken that in my spirit. Awaken my heart, Lord. Come on, elder, lift your voice. Come on, elder. Come on, senior saint, lift your voice. Amen. Oh, come on, the God of yesterday. Amen. The one that you used to have an altar to wants to meet you again. Come on, he was faithful to you when you was faithful to him. Come on, let God renew that place in your life. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice to God. Weep for your soul. Weep for your condition. Come on, you've been battling with carnality, things that you know that is wrong. Somebody needs to nail it to the flesh, nail that flesh to the cross. Come on, nail it to this altar tonight. Come on, nail it there. Come on, all your excuses. Come on, you've had many excuses, but you need to nail it and leave it at this altar tonight. Even something needs to die tonight at that time of altar. Even at time of altar, you need to let something die that you can live spiritually. Come on, empty every hidden thing out of your heart. Every hidden thing, empty it out. Every secret place, let the Holy Ghost light. Let it shine, let it search you. Come on, give the hand of God permission tonight. Amen, to reach inside of your heart. Come on, give God permission tonight to minister to you. Amen, to heal you, to help you, to strengthen you. Ira salolo da marara da boca mararo carara ya ya ine yalo marara mi do rabara da rabara da hi da 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 ro ra carara ma colo da ya da ya la lo da ya la lo la ya la ro ri Singa da da yilo da 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 ba ra 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 ya da da. Come on, saint, pray before the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's want to meet with you tonight. Come on, he wants to meet with you. He wants to commune with you. Hallelujah, his will tonight wants to be done in your life. Hallelujah, come on, weep before him. Tears are a language he understands. Come on, weep before God. Come on, somebody needs a heart turn tonight. Turn to God. Come on, turn to God tonight. Lord, I need you. Oh, so, so, sa, ra, 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 ya, ra. Oh, ya, la, la, di, ro, ra, ba, ra, 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 ya. He may, ya, bo, so, di, ya, da, ba, ba, ra, 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 ra. Come on, somebody needs to get desperate tonight with the Lord. God, I got to have you, Lord. I got to leave here different tonight, Lord God. I've got to leave here with a new beginning, Lord Jesus. I've got to leave here with a brand new beginning, oh God. I got to have you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, God wants to deliver somebody from the trap of hell. Come on, God wants to deliver somebody from the hand and the grip of the enemy. Come on, cry out to the Lord. It matters tonight. Your soul matters tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mercy, grace.